a colorful character. So.
And that's why I talked to them quite a bit, because I got that managed code for him for 2 years.
Yeah,
there has to be a certain number.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. There's no reason not to. I'd like to call this meeting to order, please. We'll begin with the flag salute. Billy, will you be so kind?
Fellow Americans, repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Billy.
God bless you.
May we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Chacon?
Here, please.
Commissioner Leland?
Here.
Commissioner Medina?
Here.
Commissioner Olivas?
Here.
Chairman Edwards?
Here.
Commissioner Quill? Commissioner Nunez? And Commissioner Wolbert?
Here.
Thank you.
Believe we have a quorum. Do we need to administer the oath? Anyone we're going to testify this morning?
Please raise your right hand. Do you and each of you solemnly affirm that the testimony you're about to give in the matters pending before this Board of Building Commissioners shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you. Your testimony will be recorded.
Thank you. Next item will be the approval of the last meeting, May 5th, the agenda. Do we have any exception to the way they were written? All those in favor, say aye. Opposed? So carry. Appeals, appeal number 16-01.
Good morning. 342 North H is a vacant boarded commercial structure in the commercial.
Could you state your name and where you were?
I'm sorry, sir. Erica Lithan, Code Enforcement Officer.
Thank you.
342 North H is a vacant boarded commercial structure in the Commercial Regional 1 Zone. The last active water service was terminated on July 8th of 2009, and the last active business license expired on December 31 of 2005. On January 16th of 2014, a 72-hour hazardous condition notice of violation was issued for unsafe, unsecured vacant structure, weeds and overgrown vegetation, trash, debris, and litter by Charles Carter. For the record, my next entry on my background, I dated it February 14th of 2014. However, that date is incorrect. It should be February 24th of 2014. A reinspection occurred by Charles Carter. The property was found to be in violation. Administrative citation 14000185 was issued to the owner for unsafe, unsecured structure and trash and debris. Our records noted that Mr. Carter called and spoke to the owner on February 11th of 2014 about those violations prior to writing that citation. On March 20th of 2014, Charles Carter conducted a reinspection, and the property was found again to be in violation. He issued administrative civil penalty 14000006, was issued to the owner for unsafe, unsecured structure and trash and debris. Due to an administrative error, the ACP was not filed. Thus, no fines were levied. On May 15th of 2014, a reinspection occurred, and the corrections were found to be in progress. There was work being done at the property. On October 19th of 2015, a 72-hour hazardous condition notice of violation was issued for unsafe, unsecured vacant structure and graffiti. The notice was mailed on October 20th of 2015. On November 3rd of 2015, email correspondence was received by our office stating the owners were painting over the graffiti and resecuring the property with a frame on the interior to make it stronger to prevent transients from breaking into the building. On January 19th, the case was assigned to me, and I responded to a citizen's complaint. I inspected the property. On January 20th, I observed weeds and overgrown vegetation, including a climbing vine on the north side of the property that was attached to the wall and had fallen down, taking some of the paint with it, and it was laying on the ground. I also observed trash, debris, and litter, the peeling paint I mentioned, and graffiti. After conducting my due diligence, I discovered the structure had not been occupied in approximately 6 years and added the abandoned building violation. Due to case history, I prepared the property to go straight to hearing. On February 8th of 2016, a meeting occurred to discuss plans for the property. In attendance were Salvation Army Representative Major Henderson, Code Manager Jody Mansfield, Community Development Director Mark Persico, and myself. Major Henderson stated they were looking at rehabbing the property, anticipating the cost to be approximately $342,000. Mr. Persico suggested demolition, considering the condition of the property and the need to meet new building code requirements, and he also offered that the city would help with that demolition cost. On February 17th of 2016, I spoke with Major Henderson on the phone, and he advised they were collecting bills to rehab and clear the vegetation. On March 10th of 2016, I spoke with Major Henderson, who advised the destruction on the inside was not as bad as they had originally thought, and the main expense would be the electrical and the HVAC. On April 7th, I had jury duty, so my coworker, Rebecca Doherty, she reinspected the property for me. She found that the weeds were cut. However, the peeling paint, the graffiti remained, and an additional violation noted was inoperable vehicles in the parking lot. On April 7th, the administrative hearing was conducted, and in attendance was Ms. Peterson on behalf of the owner. The hearing officer upheld the staff recommendations. On May 17th, hearing order number 16019 was issued and posted on the property. Staff noted the property was secure and the landscaping again consisted of weeds. Hearing order 16-019 states in part to maintain the structure to FHA board up standards. Within 10 days of that date, May 17th, remove weeds and overgrown vegetation, including the vines on the north side, install and maintain landscaping. Remove and maintain property free of trash and debris. Power wash and paint building and paint boards to match the building. Cover all graffiti and continuously maintain property free of graffiti. On May 30th, I received an appeal to your board. Yesterday, I reinspected the property at approximately 11 a.m. I discovered the inoperable vehicles had been removed. However, violations existing were overgrown vegetation, trash and debris, there was a shopping cart with items behind the dumpster, the condition of structures, peeling paint existed, and there is a lot of graffiti in violation of hearing order 16019. The property has a history of code violations dating back to May of 2012. Since this time, the property has been found unsecured approximately 5 times with transient activity. Transient activity typically results in damage to the property and often theft of metals and other items. A Salvation representative stated that the electrical and heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system will require upgrades. The county assessor's commercial building record shows the property to be a pay and play racquetball facility. The property has been vacant approximately 6 years. In order to bring the property up to current building codes and be occupant ready for business, some type of rehabilitation will be necessary. The property is currently maintained in a state that is contrary to the city's codes. Further, Hearing Order 16019 in Section 6 allows for an extension up to 120 days to complete repairs, rehabilitation, or demolition. Yesterday, I spoke with the building official, Todd Morris, who is in attendance today if you have any further questions, and the assistant building official, Mike Zabala, who, based on the length of time their property has been vacant, recommended a third-party structural engineer check the structural integrity of the building. Also, the property has to comply with the newer ADA requirements, the State of California Title 24 requirements, and the windows and doors will need to be replaced to the 2013 standards. Also, a sprinkler system has to be recertified prior to occupancy. Staff recommends that the Board of Building Commissioners uphold Hearing Order 16-019. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. To the chair. Stephen Graham, counsel to the Board of Building Commissioners. I simply wanted to bring the board's attention to the basis for the appeal. That's found in the appeal form of the appellant. Does not appear that the appellant, although they're going to be coming up, I assume, making their case, they don't seem to be appealing that the violations, the specific violations found in the hearing order existed. They're appealing on the basis that the hearing order is overbroad in certain aspects of its language. So I would draw the board's attention to the attachment to the appeal form where the grounds for the appeal are stated. The two grounds for the appeal are essentially one of the orders of the hearing officer was that the building be rehabilitated. The appellant states that that's vague and overbroad. Insofar as it is not related to the actual violations that exist or found to exist. The other one is that future abatement costs are ordered to be paid, and insofar as those abatement costs have not been gone through a hearing and have been ordered by a hearing officer, the order that they be paid and assessed as a lien are invalid. I just wanted to bring the board's attention to that aspect of this so that when we get the next portion of the hearing, you have the context.
Do you care to make a statement to the board?
Yes.
Would you please?
Good morning. My name is Terry Hughes. I'm general counsel for the Salvation Army. Let me start off by, I just drove by the building, and I do apologize for the condition it's in. I don't want to make any excuses. However, the Army sold that building years ago. It was in extensive litigation to foreclose on taking it back. It took years to get it. That's no excuse for why it looks the way it does. Let me start out. If you look at your Section 2 requirements as far as maintaining the board-up standards, painting, removing the weeds, items 1 through 4, I agree with that. It should be done. It should have been done now. The only issue I have is install and maintain landscaping. We are currently in escrow. We're hoping to close a sale by August 1. So we'll have a new owner hopefully coming in. And I would like to at least leave, if we get it cleaned up and everything, you know, all the existing weeds pulled out, I'd rather that be left to the new owner if we can do it. As far as power washing, painting, getting rid of the graffiti, we have, as you heard, periodically tried to clean the thing up. It's just that it's a constant battle. I think you're probably aware of sometimes you paint and then the next day there's graffiti. So again, I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying it's not that we've been complete scofflaws here. We just haven't been as efficient as we should have. The real issue with the appeal is that you're saying within 30 days from the date of the order that the owner has to obtain permits and plans to rehabilitate. We certainly can apply for permits, but I don't know. I mean, most cities, it's pretty hard to get permits granted within 30 days, just getting hearings, the things like so. I guess the real issue I'd like indulgence with is the final paragraph. Hopefully we will close escrow in early August. And what I would like to do is, if you're going to leave that in there, I would leave a longer period of time for the new owner to apply for permits and then have a period of time. That's assuming, and I, you know, he would agree to all of the first four items as well, which it should be painted, it should, and hopefully the new owner will have a better incentive to make sure somebody's there every day to you know, paint over the graffiti, but what we'd like to do is modify that last paragraph. Ideally, we'd like 120 days from the close of escrow, which we, let's just say from August 1, 120 days for the new owner to submit plans. As the prior speaker indicated, we're going to, whoever's rehabilitating is going to need to do the ADA compliance, and there's a lot of different things. And again, that makes it even harder within 30 days, I think, to get that all done. So in an ideal world, we'd like 120 days to obtain or to get the permit, apply for the permit, and then within 60 days of the granting, the work would be done. So that would be what we would request. So,
any questions? Yes, sir.
Salvation Army has owned this property for 6 years?
No, it's actually it was donated to the Army about 12 years ago. The Army sold it, and then the person who bought it, unfortunately, the Army financed it with a note. The guy defaulted, and for years the Army was litigating to take it back. So the Army has had it. It's been over a year that we've had it, I know that, after getting it back. But we have not been in possession of it for 6 years, no. And when we got it back, the interior had been gutted. Most of the damage had been done. So when we got it back, it's pretty much been boarded up since we've had it. I agree we should have maintained the weeds better. There's no doubt about that. But
did the Salvation Army have plans for this building?
I think we had plans a few months ago. The problem was financing is tight. I mean, the Army's stressed like every other operation in the county and city, and they just couldn't find the funding to do it. So the decision was made to sell it, and we're now in escrow. And like I said, hopefully within 30 days the escrow will close. There'll be a new owner who intends to redevelop the property.
I don't know if you can answer this or could, but new owner, if you will, do you know their plans for this building?
I'm not Carr. Your Carr, do you know? I'm sorry.
Hi, I'm Carr Peterson. I am the property administrator for the Salvation Army Sierra Del Mar Division and work in San Bernardino County. The buyer wanted to be here today and unfortunately couldn't. I just got off the phone with them this morning, and they said that they were looking at several different tenants, but they're not really sure yet how it will all play out. So that also affects them in terms of permits and a timeline. The building right now is divided with partitions into five separate units. However, maybe they have a tenant who wants to use three of the units, so they need to make those plans with the tenants, get the structural engineer, you know they're going to be under ADA, Title 24, et cetera, and just doing those analyses is going to take a little bit longer than even the 60-day timeline outlined in the order.
Counsel for the board again. I said two comments after the presentation of the appellant. The first was, insofar as the appellant has an issue with the order to install and maintain landscaping, it's found on line 18, page 2 of the hearing order. There was no statement in the appeal form that there was an issue with that portion of the order. And then the second part, I understand the position that the appellant's in with the property currently being in escrow. However, it seems like the suggestion is to somehow make this hearing order applicable to the subsequent owner who does not have notice of these violations.
They do.
Has not been given notice of these violations by the city, I should say, from the backup that has been presented to me, has not been given notice of this hearing by the city, as we have in the backup. And so I'm unsure how the board's changing of this hearing order would be able to be enforced against the subsequent owner. That being said, I understand the situation.
I have a question. The new owners have yet to determine what they're going to do with the building. Is that correct?
Correct.
So if they don't know what they're going to do with it, how can they apply for permitting to remodel or reestablish the building when they don't know the configuration it needs to be in to be utilized. And that equates to an undetermined amount of time extended out until they can figure out what they're going to do with it. And in the interim, the building stays static, and that's where the problem is.
Correct. In the they have known since April, the initial hearing, about the potential for this order and have received copies of each step of this process. In the sale contract, they have assumed all responsibility for any and all of the requirements of the order. However, you know, you don't have record of that. I think that they are amenable to the 120-day extension, having spoken with them and having them read this order.
The dialogue you've had is with the new owner.
Correct. Well, not we're with, in escrow. They're not the new owner yet, not, but yes, the buyer.
Not with the city.
Correct. At the hearing in April, I did say that we had a potential buyer and that I was hoping to open escrow that month, and we did.
How does the code department feel about extending this out 120 days?
Well, I know there is a paragraph in section, I believe it's 6, that does give an additional 120 days on top of whatever you decide is appropriate on the initial time frame. So we do work with owners, so we can work with a buyer if we see, you know, progress being made, plans are in. We obviously can work with it. I would not propose to do 120 days from the initial, from section 3 or 2, and then an additional 120. I mean, that's a long time. So I would discourage that.
So from 120 days from the close of escrow, that gives them official title to the property, the new owner. Do you agree with that?
I would say still keep it to less than that and have that additional if it is so needed. I would hate to say 120 days and then an additional 120 days on top of that. That's too long, in my opinion.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, the order as it reads now asks that permits are requested within 30 days of the order, then 60 days from that point, all work must be completed, and then the extension time that's currently in the order is 120 days at the discretion of code enforcement, so long as they're making progress and making good faith efforts to do what needs to be done at the property. That's as it stands now, and I think that is the purpose of Section 6 with the optional 120 days at the discretion of community development based on their progress.
So that's 90 days plus 120 days to the maximum. Is that right?
That's correct, as the order is written now.
Can I respond? And I'm not being nitpicky here, but it doesn't say we shall apply. It says we shall obtain. And the problem with that is you can apply for a permit. And I don't. Maybe San Bernardino is better than every other city in the state, but it's pretty hard to get a permit issued immediately. Usually there's back and forth, and I'm not faulting anybody, but when you say obtain, it makes it really difficult for a person who's applying for a permit. Because it's a discretionary issue.
My concern is you got to know what you need to do with the building before you apply for a permit. So this could be very easily put the cart before the horse. You're applying for a permit that you don't know what you're going to do with. And that is all driven by the time constraint.
The buyer and also the Army, because we're in escrow now to close August 1st, is willing to undertake any and all of the part of the order that was within the 10-day time period. It's the part referring to the interior of the building, not visible from the street.
That is
correct. And so that we're in agreement that it's undetermined at this point. It's just, it's kind of untenable for us to complete all of those repairs within the time frame here, to find a tenant, to have the tenant make their plan for the facility, to get the permits, to go to a structural engineer, to have them, you know, do their analyses, to do mechanical, electrical, plumbing. Squatters have totally gutted the interior of that building. There is nothing there. We'll have to get the utilities hooked back up and turned back on. So I think even with the current state that the facility's in, say that we were to keep it in five partitions and just do a real simple renovation of the interior, even looking at it that way, the 60 days is too short of a time period.
And maybe the answer is that the application be made and commercially reasonable efforts are followed, something to that effect. It's just, you know, I don't know how you can bind somebody to obtain the permit if, unless the city's, you know, agreeing they'll issue it within a time. But you can't do that because you need to know what's being requested.
If I may, on that note, basically once it goes to the city, it's in the city's hands, the clock will stop. We're not going to hold him to how long it takes the city on the plans. So it does stop at that point.
Yes, ma'am.
So you're saying to us is that the person who's buying the building is willing to do all these things? Okay. I understand the time frame. My question is, where's that in writing? Okay. Do we have a copy of that subcontract where we can read it ourselves to see? Because to me, this is hearsay. You're telling me this, and I don't know that that's a fact. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's where my issue lies. And this whole thing started in 2014, and here we are in the middle of 2016. Now the building's being sold. At one point in February, you guys, our Salvation Army was looking to rehab the building themselves. Was the city ever notified that you guys decided to sell the building and go into escrow?
Yes, there should be record of that from the April hearing.
Okay, that was in April. Okay, so April 2016, this started in January 2014. That's been 2 years to paint the building, to secure the building.
The building has been painted and secured several times,
okay,
over that two-year period. And what happens, as probably you know, in that area of San Bernardino, there are vandals, there are transients, and they come back to the same property, jump the fence, and spray paint again.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. I live close to that area. It just seems like now, in the last hours, you decide to sell the building. I don't have any proof that the man buying the building or the people buying the building are going to follow through on what this is. To me, it's hearsay because I don't have anything in front of me stating that the new owner isn't here to say this. I do know that putting in a plan with upstairs, I know code enforcement will work with you. If they see something going on, that's why this is drug out for 2 years. That something, you know, because there was things happening at that building. It's hard for me to hear that, oh, they're going to handle it. And I don't know, and you know, honestly, I understand the issues with buildings in this city. People buy buildings, they go in, there's 50 people living in the building. I understand that, you know. But my next question was back to the deputy city attorney. So the main thing that we're trying to decide here is if they're going to put in, just tell me again, Stephen, so I'm clear on this.
Sure. You want me to talk about the basis for the appeal?
Right. And what are we making our decision? What are we deciding on?
Well,
the 496 to
they're not challenging the fine amount. They're not challenging the determination that those listed violations were in existence, or the corrections, except insofar as they need to obtain the permits. So I'm looking right now at line 23 of page 2. It seems they would be content with a simple word change from obtain to apply. And since the code enforcement department has stated that they wouldn't hold that time period that it's in the city's hands against them, it seems reasonable that that change could occur. And then the other issue, although it wasn't discussed, related to the abatement costs. I think that if you change that to apply, and if the code enforcement department perhaps gave some assurances that they would exercise that 120-day discretion allowed under Section 6, that would solve the two issues that have been brought up right now and would allow some time for the change in ownership to occur, but not simply let this one go for the next another 2 years.
2 years, yeah. Well, see, and that's where my issue is. This has been going on for 2 years. My understanding also from what I'm hearing from you, the appellant, is that you don't want to put in new landscaping. Is that what... Was there an issue with that?
Well, I guess the question is, if we're closing in the next 3 weeks, what landscaping? I mean, we can certainly rip the... I don't disagree. It should be painted. The weeds should be pulled out. But what do we mean by landscaping? I mean, some people landscape by putting pebbles down. It seems to me I'd rather leave that. If we pull all the weeds out, you're going to have a building that's going to have these empty planter boxes. I don't think it's a huge issue. I think because the new owner is probably going to, if whatever we do, is probably going to go and pull that out anyway. I mean, if you want us to plant a few flowers, I guess we could do that. But we'll certainly get rid of the weeds, which is, I think, the eyesore.
Mr. City Attorney, what is the code for
landscaping? Yes. I would direct counsel for the appellant. I know it's a big municipal code. to 15240A1, where the city's definition of required landscaping is, and that would include trees, shrubs, ground cover, decorative rock, redwood bark, and or grass. Okay. If they were wondering what would be required. And I also believe code enforcement department upstairs has examples of what would be acceptable.
Okay.
If I may, please. The appropriate landscaping, in my opinion, should be in line with the use of the building, which is undefined. So I question the sanity of expending money that could turn around and get wiped out because they've changed the outlook of the outside of the building. You know, what be a planter today might be a part of a parking lot tomorrow based on their use of the facility that's undefined. We've got an awful lot of unanswered questions here that are influential on what we're trying to do here.
Can I finish? I can agree with you to a certain extent on that. Simply because when you buy a home, somebody may do landscaping for 30 days before to put it into escrow, and then you get there and you're like, oh, no, I don't want bark, I want rock. So, I mean, I can understand that. So the inside of the conditions of the inside of this building, has anybody from the city seen the inside of this building?
No, consent wasn't granted.
They did not give consent to inspect the inside.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't know if we were requested to admit anybody. I mean, I don't think we have a problem if you want to go look at the inside. But
when the city requests entrance to our buildings, we would grant that access.
Again, Steve Graham, counsel for the board. The violations listed on the hearing order that are being appealed all relate to the outside of the building. The appeal, when we're looking at the appeal form, we're looking at the basis for the appeal. The order that they install landscaping was not contested. It's not listed as an issue that they were appealing.
Okay.
I understand it's been brought up now, and the board has discussed it. And I'm not telling the board that you can't remove that requirement because common sense or whatever rationale you have would dictate removing it. I'm just letting you know it wasn't appealed.
Well, we did say the order was overbroad, so did we need to specify everything? I don't know, but...
Based on my experience with working with landscaping in San Bernardino, we would need to take that to the planning department, you know, and they're going to review. We're going to have a landscape plan, and they tell us whether or not it's okay. They let us know what kind of trees and plants that they'd like to see. So that even takes a little time. We couldn't just go today and re-landscape this lot. Within 10 days is a little bit short of a time frame to do all of that.
When you say landscaping and greenery, I think water. And this says the water's been turned off since 2006 or something. Has water been reestablished to the facility?
It has not. Actually, all of that piping has been stolen.
Did you have a question?
Yeah. Actually, there's another form of extension, and our building official can probably expand on that. You could have pulled the permit months ago and got a permit. From the time that permit's issued till the first inspection is 90, 120 days?
180.
180?
Yes.
Okay, that's more than I thought.
Inspection approved.
After the permit's issued.
Correct.
So that's 180 days for the first inspection. You can play the game and fail that inspection. You get another 180 days, I think.
technically, yes.
For the record, could you state your name and who you work for?
Yes, Honorable Chair and Commissioners, my name is Todd Morris. I'm the Chief Building Official for the City of San Bernardino.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I want to reiterate our process. We also have a plan check process that would then direct into the permit process. Once the permit's issued, they have up to 180 days to request an approved inspection. So once, if they requested an inspection, it would have to pass that inspection. If not, it would then the permit would expire. They could request an extension for an additional 180 days, but they'd have to request and give the interpretation why are they requesting for that extension.
But if you've got a permit for electrical, mechanical, and plumbing, so you call for a plumbing inspection and you pass. So you get another 180 days before you have to pass your next inspection.
In general, correct.
So there's really extensions here. If the permit process had been done originally, then we wouldn't even be talking about through the building department. And that excludes or eliminates what we've been talking about, 120 days or 60 days or whatever that is.
And I apologize for my ignorance, but when you apply for a permit, don't you have to say what you want to do? I mean, you just don't have a blanket saying we want to apply to do some work, and the problem is you have to be specific, and I think given all the ADA requirements, it takes a while. If you could tell us we can apply with a blank permit saying we're going to do some work and we have 180 days, we're happy with that, but that's not how I understand the system works. My understanding is we have to, in good faith, do research, get architects, get structural engineers, and come with a permit. And usually the process is we come with a permit, the city has questions, and it's a bit of a dance. And that's why we just want to we hope this escrow closes, and that's why we're hoping that we get some grace here so that the new buyer comes in and sees that, you know, they'll be able to work with the city. But what I don't want to have happen, and it may happen, is that, you know, the new buyer backs out, we're stuck here, and we will do whatever we have to do, but, you know, it's far better, I think, for the city to have a new buyer who's putting in industry. You get a tax base, and you're not going to have, you know, graffiti every day that we have to go paint over. So that's all we're trying to do here is work with you to advance this.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, the 180-day time frame that we were talking about is for folks who are applying for a permit, but folks that aren't subject to a hearing order. The point of this hearing order is that this property has languished for several years, and the goal for the city is compliance. So the hearing officer found, based on the evidence presented on that hearing, day, that these are the appropriate time frames to get this property into shape so that we don't continue to have transients breaking in, graffitiing the property, and so on.
You know, my concern is that the city has no objective evidence that the new owner fully understands this bucket of worms that he is inheriting or purchasing. And I think that should be made to the city, that the new owner understands what his responsibilities are post-haste. And then from your standpoint, you hope that he does not read and understand those issues and then turn on and back out to where you've inherited it again. Our concern is for the city, and the city needs some type of assurance that the corrective actions will be taken in a reasonable amount of time. This goes back to 2006 as far as the condition of the building, and it wasn't the city's problem that your buyer dropped out and you inherited it again. The city's problem is, since 2006, it has been in noncompliance, and that's what we must focus on. And the new buyer needs to be brought into this circle, and give assurances to the code and billing department that they are going to accept responsibilities within the time frame that has been so mentioned. Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to make a motion that the Board of Building Commissioners uphold the hearing order 16-019. That's the motion I'd like to make at this time.
I just have one question, please. This is the chair to Ms. Peterson. Okay, there's a cell tower on the property. Is that part of the property? Okay. And to the code enforcement, does the cell tower people, owners, do they have any responsibility for the upkeep in that very same property? Is there any issues with them?
Only for the upkeep of the cell towers, and they are permitted.
Nothing further, please. Thank you.
We have a motion. All those in favor? Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
Motion carries. I'd like to have some type of assurance provided to the city, the appropriate departments, that the new owner has full and complete understanding of what they are inheriting and what their corrective action plan will be within the time constraints so identified.
Well, can you help me understand what you've just voted on? So what it currently says, within 30 days of the date of the order, so they're going to come into ownership 2 days. In 2 days, they're going to have a permit applied for. I'm not trying to be difficult here. All I'm trying to figure out is how any buyer is going to look at this and decide they want to close escrow, which means the Army's going to be back here, and we're certainly going to clean it up, we'll paint it, all those things are reasonable. But as far as us being able to come in with a permit, I mean, you know, I don't know even if it's even constitutional, for as long as we treat it with all the HUD requirements and keep it looking clean, that you can order us to get permits to make it into an operating facility. I don't even know, again, I'm not trying to be difficult here, but
I think the key is apply for the permits.
But can you do that within 2 days if you have to have specificity? I mean, I'm happy to go back to the purchaser, and we're happy to talk to them. But all I'm afraid of is they're going to look at this, and they're going to say, look, we're going to invest a lot of money here. We're seeing, you know, a city that doesn't really welcome us. And if they then fall out of escrow, I don't know what we're going to – I mean, again, it's only reasonable that we keep it painted free of graffiti – We'll remove the weeds. That should have been done, and as I said at the beginning, I apologize. But I can't tell you the Army is going to be able to put an operating business in there, and I don't even know if it's constitutional to force it. As long as we're keeping it, you know, maintained, and we agree that that should be done, I don't know how you can force us to get a permit to operate a business. That's my only... I may be wrong. I've been wrong before, but it just seems a little of an overbroad stretch.
Sir, do you have a comment?
I would simply say that the board has taken action. Unless the board's planning on doing a motion to reconsider, I'd recommend that the board cease receiving testimony on and argument on this issue.
Through the chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Can we reconsider this? Because the thing that I did not put in my motion that just hit me was to apply, because you did say that.
You can make a motion to reconsider.
Yes. I'd like to make a motion to reconsider.
Second.
Okay. Thank you. So I'd like to change my motion.
Well, you have to vote on that motion.
Okay.
We have to vote. Do we have
Sorry.
A vote? All those in favor?
Aye.
I'm not sure what we're voting on.
To reconsider.
So. To reconsider our last vote.
I'm sorry. I really.
We're going to vote to vote for the next vote?
Okay.
Right. We'll get there.
Sorry. Okay.
Motion carried.
Thank you, sir.
And if I understand the commissioner, the proposed amendment to the hearing order, it's page 2 of 5, line 23, to change the word obtain to apply for.
Yes.
So it would be within 30 days from the date of this order is mailed, the owners, persons in control, and or in charge of the property shall apply for permits and or plans to rehabilitate the structure.
I would also like to have something formal that says that we bring the new owner into this circle.
We can add language that if the property ownership changes prior to September 1st, 2016, the new owner shall have an additional 30 days to apply for said permits.
That's my motion.
Well,
yes, sir.
Back to the building department. A permit, that's a blanket term. They could pull a permit for irrigation. You get 180 days on it. Am I correct?
Well, typically, yes. I think that was the testimony before, but this is putting more time constraints on it due to the property's history. So I think with the proposed amendment, it would now be that within 30 days of the order, they shall apply for permits, and then the next section would be all work shall be completed within 60 days of obtaining necessary permits.
So we're shortening that 180 days down to 60 days.
But right. They can apply for an extension.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And the new owner has to be identified in that the owner or new owner will accept these terms.
But we're already seeing that the permit really is. It could be structural, HVAC, plumbing, electrical. I mean, the whole gamut, including ADA. I mean, whole enchilada, if you will. That is hard to get in 30 days, I'm sure. I don't think they argue that. But we're still giving, once the permit's issued, I know some of the games that are played, you apply for the easiest permit you can get. Then you go from there, and you can extend those days forever. So I don't know if we're gaining anything.
Well, and again, if I can speak, the problem, and I'm not trying to nitpick, but the problem is that we have to apply for permits to rehabilitate the structure. The city could argue that means everything in that building, every permit has to be applied for. And I think if we came in and said, we just want to do, you know, the line to do the landscaping, we'd have a battle on our hands. And that's why I want to be careful what the language is. And again, if I were the buyer and I looked at that and I said, okay, I'm going to close, and 2 days later I have to have a detailed permit applied for to do everything for the building, you know, with all respect, I'm sure the buyer is going to say, you know, hasta la vista. I'm going to go, you know, to Riverside.
I can propose some additional language that I think will solve that problem as well. I'm getting a little creative with our hearing order here.
Okay.
I think that's sort of necessary. I would perhaps strike the words to rehabilitate the structure and the words necessary to correct the violations listed above would be perhaps more specific language. The line would then therefore read, within 30 days from the date of this order is mailed, the owners slash persons in control and or in charge of the property shall apply for permits and or plans necessary to correct the violations listed above, and if the ownership of the property shall change within prior to September 1st, 2016, the new owner shall have 60 days to apply for said permits. Did we all follow that?
Yes.
Does that apply only to the violations listed for the new owner?
That is correct.
Are you happy with that?
I would have to object because the goal of this the code officer advised me that this is, actually would be a demolition candidate. We don't know what's on the inside because when she had a conversation with a person by the name of Major Henderson, he was the one that refused consent to see the inside. These violations are only for the outside and upon my review are fairly superficial, but in order to get this working as a functioning property where transients aren't breaking in and it continues to languish for another period of time, we do need language that requires them to rehabilitate the property, whatever the timeline is. The timeline here is what the hearing officer found appropriate in this case. If this board wants to change that, I would request that we work out a timeline for the rehabilitation because that is what the hearing officer ordered, and there hasn't been any testimony as to why the requirement for rehabilitation should be stricken because they've had notice that all these violations have been going on for years, and as the code officer testified, there was a meeting between community development and Major Henderson back in February where plans were discussed to either rehabilitate or demolish the building. Since then, nothing's been done, and now there's a new buyer on the scene. So I have concerns about how the city can make sure that this is being enforced and this actually does eventually get rehabilitated, whoever does it.
Can I comment? She herself in her earlier statement said that she would come periodically and graffiti had been removed, the landscape, you know, the weeds had been pulled. So to say nothing was done in 6 years I think is not true.
To the board, one of the rationale for inserting the language necessary to correct the violations listed above is that there are no violations listed on the interior of the structure. The city has not yet had an opportunity to inspect the interior of the structure. They don't know if any violations actually exist. The basis for the appeal is that language is vague and overbroad. If the appellant is unable to know from the language of the hearing order what items they're required to do to comply with the law, I think that they have a point.
My concern, again, is that has the new owner inspected the inside of the building?
Yes, they have.
So any entertainment to demolish the building would have to be in concurrence with the new owner.
I don't think that the new owner wants to demolish the building, and the Army at this point does not want, should the escrow fall out, the Army also does not intend to demolish the building. The expense to demolish is almost as much as the expense to rehabilitate.
Yes, sir.
Well, being the building has not had a structural engineer review or electrical engineer review, so we don't know what the inside of the building is like. So I don't know how we can possibly make an issue out of that, because we don't know, and nothing's been presented that way.
Through the chair, would you mind if I asked a question to our building official? Would you mind if I asked a question of the building official?
Certainly.
Prior to tenants occupying this structure, would they need to receive a certificate of occupancy or some other permit from the city?
Yes, they would. In fact, the building department would request a third-party structural review due to the fact of the extent of time that that's been vacant, the amount of damage that has occurred, and it sounds like it has occurred through the last several years. So we would, for the safety of any occupancy, we would request a structural survey from a third party.
So it sounds like if new tenants are coming in, the city's going to get in the building, and they're going to come up with a punch list of things that need to be corrected that actually, you know what needs to be done and you can do it.
I'd like to make a motion, if I may, that we accept the wording that the city attorney has offered, and the motion carry under with that change. All those in favor?
All right.
Opposed? So carry. You understand?
I think so.
We will be sending out a revised hearing order.
Okay. And again, I know it's been a little contentious, but we do want to work with the city. We do apologize that you had to go through this. And again, I'm not trying to make excuses, but we invested a lot of money we had no control for 4 or 5 of those years over that building. We couldn't get in to do anything. And I agree, when I went by, I was embarrassed that you had weeds there and it hadn't been painted. I thought that it had been done. I understand that we have done it. We spent thousands of dollars every time we did clean it up. But the other problem is, unless you've got armed guards there, it's hard to keep somebody from coming in and vandalizing. And so that's why I think it's in everybody's best interest to get a new owner who can rehabilitate it, put a functioning operation that generates tax revenue. I think everybody has that best interest at heart. And we're happy to work with you. And again, I wasn't trying to nitpick, but I just hate to have language in there that nobody could agree to. And it kind of, any buyer is going to look at that and they're going to say, how can I deal with that? And I know you want to be reasonable, but if it doesn't say that and someone's advising the buyer, they're going to say, well, how do you know that they're going to be reasonable? So I think what you propose should work. We'll look at the language. We'll, talk to the buyer, and hopefully, especially, if they come in and they say, and they meet with the city and say, we need a little more time, and they can demonstrate goodwill and that they can bring their architect, and if you can show some cooperation with them, I think it can be done. It's just having these rigid timelines, especially when there's new ADA law, it's just difficult.
My request to the Army is to please bring the new owner into these, especially with the code and the building department, as soon as possible.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time.
Do we have anything else on the agenda that we need to address other than our new secretary? Thank you. Welcome aboard. And I think we have a matter that we need to discuss about publishing the agenda for the group. My recommendation was to double-side the paper and continue mailing. I think that will cut the cost to the city down 50%. And do I have an objection to that from my coast?
The only thing I would add to that is that I don't think when you get the pictures, you really can't see them. So even the pictures could be left out. I know.
You could even email the copy to us, but mail it as well.
Right.
And then the pictures would be on your.
The pictures would be in your email, but right. The printed would all be double-sided,
omitted.
Yeah.
Yeah, omitted.
Because the pictures you really can't see, they're just like dark spots.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that more better?
That's perfect.
Is that more better?
More better, more funner.
If there's no, do we have any announcements to make? Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Just God bless America, and let's everybody do your part to keep San Bernardino strong. Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
A couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to participate in the city cleanup at Wildwood Park. And I've done this before, but this was kind of a neat moment. I got in line at 10 minutes to 9. It goes from 8 to 11. And I was a quarter of a mile behind. And I'm not complaining about that. But it was so fascinating. I saw every vehicle of every make, shape, size, or color with 4 and 5 mattresses on the top, love seats as big as this whole place on the back of vehicles that used to go into empty lots. And it was so inspiring to see that people were waiting 2 hours and not complaining about that, because everybody did. They were willing to take all this stuff and sit in line at 110 degree and get rid of it. And it was very cool. I think Burtek was a little overwhelmed, because the line went from Wildwood to Harrison, which is probably a quarter of a mile. And but it was fun to watch it, if you want to spend 2 hours on a Saturday. But it was really inspiring to see that people actually wanted to strap those old mattresses on, and they had to get rid of them there because they couldn't go any further than there. They'd be on the street. So that was just a fun thing to watch, and it's good to know that people really do want to clean up their stuff and get rid of it. And if we give them a chance to do that, which is happening, I think it's terrific.
Just so you'll know, now that we have transitioned to a new trash collector, that same company is also providing service to the county within the greater San Bernardino area. And I noticed there's two sets of rules, if you will. In the county, you can put out everything, including the kitchen sink, on garbage day, and Burtek takes it. Mattresses, furniture, they set it out on the curb, and it disappears. So I have gone to the council and said, why can't we enjoy that in San Bernardino? If Burtek's doing it for the county, why can't they do it for the city? So they are looking into that to see if that contract can be amended to include something more reasonable than every 6 months, or you can call and have something picked up, you know. So we're working towards that. The other thing I'd like to bring up is the San Bernardino International Airport on September the 10th, I believe it is. We're having a big air show again this year, and it's going to be bigger and more better than it was last year. We're going to facilitate a greater audience, and we're expecting a bigger crowd. So circle that day on your calendar. And lastly, the museum on November the 5th, we're having another evening at the museum. And it will be a spy pilot chronicle. And it was a SR-71 pilot that's going to come and make really a dynamic presentation. And it will be over in the departure terminal of the airport. And we're expecting a large crowd for that. So watch for advertising and our website for the museum. As soon as we can get the T's crossed and the I's dotted, then we will publish the stuff about it. But circle November 5th. It'll be in the evening for a nice evening, and it's a general audience type of thing. Everyone will enjoy hearing about flying the world's fastest and highest airplane in areas that you wouldn't believe. And with that, I'd like to call for an adjournment. Oh, you have something?
Mm-hmm.
Got to wave that hand, lady. There you go.
I'm here. The Friends of Reagan Park have opened a new farmer's market at Littlefield Schultes Park. It is a year-round farmer's market. We run from 10 to 2 on every Saturday, except if it's really windy. Also, we still have the farmer's market over here downtown every Thursday from 11 to 2. And I did have a question for Jody. The empty lots in the downtown area that are owned by the city, how often are those cleaned and mowed down?
I'm not sure I know EDA. I have a contact that orders them to be removed, so whenever I get complaints, I just shoot an email to Lisa, and then she gets the contractors to remove them. So if you have specific locations.
Okay. Just email them to you or do a go request?
Email them to me is fine, and I'll forward it on to Lisa.
Okay. Thank you, Jody.
Does anyone else have anything to bring up? If not, I'd like to call for the adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time.
Thank you, sir. Nice to see you again.
Patrol Crescent and 6th Street once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
We have a property there that's owned by the church. And they get people just dumping, well, we got people dumping tires there lately.
Oh,
you know, it's very difficult to keep up with the donations. Thank you.
Take care. Thank you. Have a good day.
You. Because you could, if you want you to, but you have to get approved. It's kind of subsidy that long you call for.
Yeah.
Get a nail or a part. Or, they'll stretch it out forever. So
I'd be on cars. Yes.
You're right. see you, lady.
All right.
Bye now.
Just